All right. Well, guys, it's great to be with you tonight, and we're concluding our 7 weeks of this series of our spiritual gifts and understanding how that fits into our design. And that's where we came in to do shape, where we just said, okay, we are shaped by God. We're designed by God before time began. And so we've been looking at those five areas of shape. And as we get into that tonight, I want to let y'all know that, have y'all ever gone to the grocery store and you're going to buy your groceries, and then all of a sudden you see the big sign BOGO? And you go, yeah, you know, you get all excited about BOGO. Who knows what that means? Buy one, get one. Well, tonight is a logo. Alright? You listen to one, you get one. So you're getting two lessons in one night. How about that? So this is a logo night. So you get all excited. All right, I came in for one and I get two. And I will have to go through and hit the highlights a little bit more than normal on the two lessons. But you did come in on logo night. So that's right. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for each person here. And thank you for just your Holy Spirit, how you teach us, how you guide us, how you direct us, how you're working in our lives far beyond what we can imagine. Thank you that in your great providence that you have made us and designed us how you wanted us to be made, how you wanted our sisters in Christ to be made, our brothers in Christ to be made, how you've made each one that we interact with. And you are sovereign God, and you are Lord over all the earth. You're Lord over all things. And tonight, as we talk through these next two areas, do pray that you would encourage our hearts, instruct us and guide us, and also give us insight on how to serve you and how to serve others, how to love you well and to love others well, and how to be a part of your kingdom's work just the way you designed us. In Christ's name, amen. All right, so with our logo night, what are your two lessons? We're going to talk about your providential experiences, and we're going to talk about your heart for Christ. And so we're going to talk through, you know, as we went through and said, okay, we're talking through our shape. Said this every week, but we'll do it again a couple of times tonight. But really, we did the spiritual gifts for 3 weeks. Tonight we're going to hit our heart and just how do we discern our desires. Are they from the Lord? Are they from me? Are they worldly? Are they from Christ? We'll talk through that. And then our abilities, our talents in Christ, we talked through that He's given us those talents and abilities. We talked 2 weeks about our personality, and then tonight we're talking through our sovereign experiences, those providential experiences that our God has brought into our lives from our very birth all the way through, and how He determined what those were. So as we get through this, and as we get into this, talking through our providential experiences, it's important for us to understand that not only do our experiences shape us, but how we interpret those experiences. In fact, that's really more of how we're shaped, was how do we take those experiences and deal with them or interpret them or think about them, and where do we put them in our life? How do we, you know, filter those? And so that's very important for us to think through and talk through, is the interpretation of those and looking at them. And I would say that as we go through life experiences, sometimes we interpret them well, sometimes not so well. And so what Christ has done and what He would do is He's given us His Word, He's given us His Holy Spirit, and He instructs and guides us and directs us, and He wants us to interpret or to understand those things according to His purposes and according to His will. And that's, again, by the Word and the Spirit. So let's go ahead and we'll jump into this and talk through some, I guess, some key points with this as we get started. So God designed us. He's made us new in Christ. He continues to conform us into the image of Christ. And so that's kind of that first lesson, the intro, is to remember that that the overall design that he has for us, which was before time began, included our salvation. It included all that he's doing and our makeup. And even those experiences we've gone through, we're in a fallen world. And yes, you know, we have enemies here that we'll even talk through how those things. But yet God is sovereign and God is Lord over all. And he has made us new in Christ. God, in his work of providence, uses our life experiences to shape us. I'm going to just connect these some to the shape with a few statements, and I'll do it again in a minute with the next your logo lesson. And so our life experiences work together with our unique personality that God has given us. And so so often, you know, what we go through in life, you know, there can be something great that happens in life. There could be something more neutral or something very difficult that God uses to shape who we are and how we respond and to people and even to him. You know, say you're a high D driver naturally. But does, in God's providence, he brings certain things into your life. And then it can soften you. It can make you more relational. It can make you more sensitive to others. And, you know, and it just does. And, you know, same thing. You could be, you know, you could be an S and more of a responder in your personality and your temperament. And yet God can give you certain experiences, you know, your family, upbringing, your siblings, your parents. And they're different, and their examples in life and even the training you got in your home makes you more assertive. It makes you more active. It helps you think different than another person with that same temperament because you had these life experiences. Maybe the school you went to, maybe a teacher you had. I mean, all of these things can be used together with your personality, and not only with your personality, but with your talents. You know, your experiences can really bring out and even affect how you use your talents in your life. And then also your life experiences work together with your spiritual gifts. And so that all of these things work together to be who we are and how we respond to life and what we do. It's really important to understand that everything we've been talking through, that God uses in his great plan to make us who we are and to continue to make us and to conform us into the image of Christ and to use us for what he's called us to do. What he called us to do today and what he's going to call us to do tomorrow. You know, if Christ tarries next year or the next, he is shaping and molding and making us into who he wants us to be and what he wants us to do in our part in the kingdom. And that's where our life experiences come into our life, and why we need to interpret them rightly according to the Word of God by the Spirit of God. So, you know, I just said there's three major categories that I've mentioned last week and already mentioned today that really we're going to talk through this, but we do have those general things, experiences. We do have very positive, affirming experiences, and we also have those challenging, even painful experiences that go into our life. We all have those, all three of those. And that's what we'll be talking through in tonight. Well, we all know Paul in, 13 books that God used him to write in the Bible, and in those, several places are very personal about who he is and what God did in his life. You know, everything from his testimony to all kinds of things. So if you just kind of read through them and you go, I'm going to read through Acts, you know, which Luke wrote, and also read through these letters and even what Peter said about Paul, and you go, okay, I can get a good picture of Paul and his life experiences. Let me hit just a few of the highlights here that to give us an example so we can do the same thing in our life, thinking through our experiences, in order for God to use that to sharpen and to help us, give us more confidence and to be who He's called us to be, and to also make sure we've interpreted those life experiences rightly in our God-given design. So just general things about Paul. He was born in Tarsus. He was born a Roman citizen. Had a big effect on his life. Had a big effect on his ministry. Had a big effect on him. But those are general things. He had good parents. They cared for him well. He came from more of a higher economic, socioeconomic status, upbringing. Was able to go, you know, to the best of schools and things like that. Didn't get married. And he was born a Jew. All of those things are just kind of general of his experiences, his life. And you go, okay, all right. And then he also has some challenging things that happened in his life. He persecuted the church when he was, you know, he had gone through and was a Pharisee and really, active in persecuting the church because he thought that was against God, you know, and so he did that and later figured out that that was a terrible thing that he did in his life when at first he thought it was a righteous thing. He dealt with loneliness. He writes about it. He tells about his loneliness. He was lied about, you know, he was abandoned by good friends. He had people who treated him terrible. He helped hold the cloaks for those who were, martyred Stephen, and he was beaten, he was shipwrecked, got thrown in prison, so many things you go, wow, he had some tough experiences that were very difficult for him to deal with, both relationally, personally, in his life. But he also had some very positive things, affirming things. He studied, as I said, in the best school of law, religious school, top of the class. He was very gifted, very intelligent, very smart. Everybody knew him. I mean, he was, there's a place that says, Paul, with all your much learning, you've lost your mind. people knew how smart he was, how good he was, how great at debate and intellectual, gifts he had. He was called to be an apostle by Jesus. That's a very positive thing, and he taught, Jesus taught him 3 years in the desert and discipled him and taught him the word, and he was mentored by Barnabas, who was definitely on the opposite, from him. He was much more of a D driver, and Barnabas, was that SI, just that lover of people, the champion of people. And he championed Paul. He was affirmed by the apostles, they affirmed him. When James, in Jerusalem and all the apostles affirmed him and sent him out. And that was a very positive thing for him in his life. Anyway, we could go through more and more things. You get the picture that when you just sit there and go, what general experiences did he have? What challenging? What positive? And those things shaped him, or those things were in God's plan to use him, to do what God called him to do and to be who he was for the kingdom of God. Well, there's a lot of passages, those are the passages, references, I put them on your notes. There's a lot of passages we want to study, and tonight I'm going to hit them fairly quickly and make some mention of them, but we interpret our life experiences by the Word of God. And so I want us, to make sure that we hit these passages as good anchor passages. Now, many of them you already know, but we'll look at them in light of our life experiences. All right. I'm kind of cutting as I go here, editing as I go to keep it a little brief so we can get these two in. Let's just go ahead and look at if not our foundational passage, just one of them, because we've looked at it over and over. But as I read it, I want you to think of your life experiences when I get to verse 16. In context, I'll read the whole thing. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Verse 16, your eyes saw my unformed substance, and in your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them. And so our life experiences, we see God's sovereignty. You know, we see His providential work. We know that He is working and He's guiding and He's directing and He has that plan for you, and He is working even in your life now to continue to use you and make you who He wants you to be. And let's just look at some more passages to give us light about our providential experiences. Ephesians 2:10, another one of those anchor verses. But again, in light of our experiences, we're His workmanship, His work of art, as we said last week, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That's our experiences. As we walk through life, as we walk, in the Christian life, as we walk through life, God's prepared these things beforehand for us to serve Him and for us to glorify Him, to do the good work of Christ. Other passages. In fact, I'm going to pick this one up and read it later. And so I'm going to key passage, Proverbs 3, 5 through 8, but we're going to study it later anyway in the next lesson. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. Great passage as well. I'm sure that you hold on to this as I do. It's one of my, several of these are like anchor verses for me as I go through different experiences, and some of the very difficult ones that I've gone through, this is one of those passages in Isaiah 55, 8, and 9 that we hold on to. And for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. He said, my thoughts are much higher. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. And boy, that gives us great confidence, doesn't it? When we're going through life and we go, why? And God doesn't ever say, don't ask why. You know, it's okay to go to God and say, God, why? What's going on? Help me. And He says, I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm there in the midst of that. I'm walking with you in the midst of that. I will carry you through that. Whatever that storm or that fire in life. But know this, I'm sovereign and I'm God, and there's nothing that, if somebody was calling me, I was making sure it wasn't Bruce. But anyway, our pastor reader, just making sure. God's saying to us, He's saying that my ways are higher, and you can be sure of this, that I have a plan, and I am walking through, and I am working out this plan in your life. And it gives us great confidence. I'm not going to read Acts 17. We looked at it one other time. I will read Romans 8, 28 through 30 again. Another common passage, but yet another powerful passage when we think through interpreting our life experiences. And how do we think through, what we're going through in life? Beginning with verse 28, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose, for those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom He predestined, He also called. And those who He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. See that golden thread of our salvation and our sanctification, our work and our assurance in Christ. But at the very beginning, we know. We know. We have no doubt. Because of who God is. And because of all His promises. Because of His word, which is true. We know without a doubt. We know. We're assured. We know that for, you know, that those who he has called, those who he has lavished his love on, those who, us, who he saved, we know this, that everything we go through, he will work for good. He will work for good. It doesn't say all things are good. Again, we're in a fallen world and there's evil that we face. We have an enemy, Satan. You know, he doesn't play fair. I mean, he's out to steal, kill, and destroy. And he's lavishing lies and other things on us. But we can be sure of this, that God is actively working in our lives, no matter what we go through, in our past, present, future. And he's working in the midst of it for good because of who he is. He's good. He's great. He's sovereign. He's God. He will never come off his throne. He's the Lord God Almighty, and he will work all things out for good to those who are called according to his purpose. We're called for his glory, his purpose, what he's called us for. We're here, and he is molding and making and shaping us. And those whom he foreknew, he also predestined. So we're sure of this. He foreloved us, and he determined, and he saved us. You know, and then the last verse, whom he predestined, he called, and those whom he called, he justified, and those whom he justified, he also glorified. It's so interesting. It's talking in the past tense. He has glorified, and we can be sure of it. That's what you go, well, I'm not glorified yet. No, we will be, but it's put here in such a tense to go, it's sure. Okay. It's yes, we're glorified in Christ. We're justified in Christ. And we will be glorified within him. So, all right, let's keep going. Another good passage as we interpret our life experiences is in Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Says, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, God has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Very powerful passage that we can confidently say, we can with full assurance, with great hope, with great, you know, confidence in him, we can surely say, the Lord is our helper. He is the one who holds us up. He is the one that will make sure we come through whatever it is. He's the one that, no matter what happens, we are sure that there is victory, either here or in the life to come with Christ. He has us, and he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. Great passage. Again, how firm our assurance is in Christ. Well, just some principles. I'm going to hit on these, and I've already spoken to several of them, so I'm just going to hit on them. Here, God uses our experiences in life to shape who we are. And that God is sovereign and works all things together for good and for his glory, for his children. And just as in the story of Joseph, we see that, how he interpreted all of life by God's character and by God's word. And even he would say, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. To his brothers who had done him evil and wrong, sold him, you know, into slavery. And he interpreted all of that, that God has a plan and he meant it for good. And then things happen to us in our life that we may never fully understand until we're in heaven with the Lord. And, that's just so important for us. We walk by faith, not by sight. And in our faith, we trust in the full character of God. Because it never fails. It never changes. His character is sure and true. We walk in the promises of God. We know they are sure and true. And we walk in by the Word of God. And the Spirit of God empowers us to do it. And so we can, you know, through this life, we can be sure that, that God has that plan. And we may not ever understand it fully, but we can be sure that God does have a plan. And then we must trust in the character of God, the promises of God, the gospel, no matter what we face. I don't think I'll have time to tell this. If I do, I'll tell it at the end later. and just a story about Fanny Crosby and her life. But let's hit through a few more principles. God will use you and your life experiences to minister to others and to expand His kingdom. God will do that. That's what he will do that because He's called us to do that. In using our gifts, talents, and abilities, how He made us, our spiritual gift, all of these things, He will use them for us to love Him and to love others well. And it's important to remember our key life experiences in order for us to understand how they have shaped us and to make sure that we've interpreted them by the Word of God in order to use these for Christ. And so that's a key for us to count our blessings and also to make sure that we've interpreted these things accurately to give us confidence in Christ and to make sure that we are not held captive by any lie of the enemy, that, you know, or that, you know, there's nothing that are holding us back from all the abundant life that God's given us and the plan that God has before us. And so we need to make sure that we take these experiences and interpret them. We must be intentional to interpret our life experiences from the biblical worldview and biblical world and life view. In order to capture and interpret our life experiences, it's helpful to recap the story of God's glory in our life. And so I suggest those three categories for us to take those and to use. There's a worksheet on the back. You won't be able to do that tonight, but I encourage you to do that eventually. But these things right here, and there's general life experiences, you know, and I just listed out some to help you think through and go, and this is, again, to give God glory and to think through His working and to see His sovereign hand. You know, we're on the, you know, if you've heard this, that it's like a great tapestry and He's making it, and it, you know, His work is like a big tapestry. But even our life, when your grandmother or you or whomever is making it, the top side, you know, or the bottom side, cloth and yarn or whatever it is that you're working with, and it's kind of like it's a mess. You can't really see it. You flip it over and you go, wow, that's amazing. Flip it back over and you're working on it and then you go, wow, that's amazing. And that's what we're talking about, that God's doing the work. But these general things like your family dynamics, you know, who are some significant people in your life? What are some, you know, values and life views that you are taught? Whether it's at church, family, school, you know, mentors, you know, the culture you're raised in, whether it's the United States or another country, whether it's in the South or the North or the East or the West or the middle of our country, all of those things affect us. And then it moves you, the moves you have made, maybe you moved here, you moved there, or you stayed in, you know, like Belinda, stayed and grew up in two houses a mile from each other all her life, where I moved around a lot of times, a whole lot of times. I was sitting there going, I used to have it memorized, at least 8 cities and then multiple houses. So moved, and that affected me. Your birth order, you know, has a big impact. You know, again, the socioeconomic status, all of these things, you know, experiences, but those are general ones. Then you have those positive experiences, the affirmations, the encouragements, the achievements, and maybe some awards or accomplishments, you know, your salvation experience, you know, key times God gave you, times God gave you light in a situation, understanding and light, and, you know, He just really taught you a major lesson. Experiences that you have brought you joy. And when you're thinking through experiences, think through the areas of personal, relational, spiritual, educational, vocational, and anything else you want to think through. But those are just some areas. And then we have those challenging, those tough, and sometimes very painful situations that we go through in life. In those, you know, experiences, you know, maybe they brought remorse or hurt or regret. They were our wrong decisions or situations we're sinned against. Those things, you know, are part of our story that God redeems and God works through and that God gives us understanding and light and that God can use to minister to others and to even praise Him as He takes us through them. Well, applications, you know, just to use that worksheet, go through it, and then also how has God used or how is He using your providential experience to shape you into who He has designed you to be. So that's our lesson on shape, which is about normally a 38-minute lesson. I still probably took 32 minutes, so I didn't cut a whole lot. But let's do this. Let's go on and look at our God shapes our heart for Him and His glory. How does God shape our heart? We looked at our experiences, and now we go, what about our heart? What about our desires? You know, what can we know about that? And how, you know, are those from the Lord? Are those from my flesh? Are those, you know, are they okay? Are they not? We can know this, you know, again, just connecting our heart to all the other parts that we've been talking through. God, by His grace and plan, intentionally gives us spiritual gifts, abilities, and talents, personality traits, life experiences that move our heart and desires to give time and energy and resources to certain things. So God does work in our heart, in our life passions, to move us to do things for Him and His glory. The key thing for our heart is that we make sure we instruct our heart by the Word of God. We got to make sure that we stand on the Word because, each one of these verses I'm going to go through, the majority of them have the word heart in it, so it's God instructing our heart by His Word anyway, you know. So I'm going to read through these, and some will be in other lessons and some were not. But let's look at these. And what I did is I just pulled out some principles of how does God shape our heart to mold and make us into who He wants us to be. Let's look at this first principle. God has given us an overarching primary passion for our life to glorify God and further His kingdom. As a Christian, what God does is no matter where we are in our walk with the Lord, from a new baby Christian to, you know, mature Christian where you guys are, He's given us this primary passion that guides us and directs us where He's pulling us. Our heart beats to glorify the Lord. So when we hear somebody read a verse about it or sing a song about it, when we do that, it just does something and our heart says, amen. Yes, that's what I'm about. I am here to glorify God. I'm here to further His kingdom. Some key verses, you know, 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. And then Psalm 73:25-26. Whom have I in heaven but You? And there is nothing on earth I desire besides You. My heart and my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And just a great psalm up to the Lord of truth that He is all that He is, you know, whom I heaven but You? Nobody. I trust in You and You alone, God. I'm living for You and You alone. You are my life is what, you know, and there's nothing on earth I desire besides You. And then when it says, yes, our hearts, you know, we may be weak of heart and we're having a challenging situation, but God is the strength of our heart. He's the strength of our heart and He will give us the strength and He will give us whatever's needed. He's the portion. He's my portion forever. He will give us whatever we need to serve Him, to walk through it. You know, I sometimes say God's never, you know, God's always on time. He's just never early. You know, He's never going to be late. And it, you know, but when I'm wanting it, it's like God's called, you know, I'm trusting in Him. But just in the right time, God comes and gives us exactly what we need to walk through whatever the situation is. Second principle, God has given us a new heart that is alive in Christ and is to be transformed and governed by God's Word and the Holy Spirit. this great passage in Ezekiel 36, which I know you enjoy as much as I do, and verses 26 and 27, God says, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. A new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. So here we see that great promise that at salvation, that's what this is talking about. At salvation, he gives us a new heart. He takes out that our dead heart, the heart of stone, and gives us that heart of flesh that is alive in Christ, beating for Christ, living for Christ, forever and ever, for all eternity. He gave us that new heart, the heart of flesh, and the Spirit of God to live within us. And then He, I love this, and I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. How about that? Isn't that great? That God says, hey, my Spirit is going to make sure, I'm going to cause you to walk in my will, according to my ways. And you know, if we're so rebellious, we don't do it, He'll take us home, and then we will be walking with Him in His ways. You know, we will be glorifying Him. You know, He will discipline us. He'll do whatever He has, but He says, I will cause you to walk in my statutes. I love you. I love you so much. I want you to enjoy my presence. I want you to enjoy who I am. And so He will. And then He tells us, be careful to obey my rules. Make sure that you follow my Spirit guiding you in your life. But He gives us that new heart in order to do that. I'm going to go a little longer if I keep doing that. For our primary love and passion is to be for God alone. He said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And that's the great and first commandment. That great first commandment that is to love God with all our heart, every single bit. He is our chief. He's our key love, our primary love, our passion is for God and God alone. And God poured His love into our hearts to love Him and to love people, to use what He's given us for His glory and for others. Romans 5:5, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Praise the Lord that, you know, He tells us to love Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, to love our neighbor as ourselves. But He says, I'm poured my love into your heart in order that we may love Him back. He has poured His heart, His love into our hearts. And then, you know, to love others as well in verse 39, you shall love your neighbors yourself. Our hearts must be surrendered to God each day of our lives. So we have to, in order to really walk with the Lord, we have to have that surrendered life. You know, again, that key passage in most of us hold on to dear, that we're to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, knowing that all things will be added unto us. But our first seeking, our surrendered life, our seeking life is to be of God and His righteousness. And then Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, my very meditations, my thoughts, what I'm thinking about, what I'm meditating on, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. The next principle, we must be satisfied. Our hearts must be satisfied and content in God alone. And that's such a key. Psalm 33:20-21, our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart is glad in Him because we trust in His holy name. That's a sweet passage, isn't it? You know, our soul, our very heart, our very being, our soul, we wait for the Lord. We trust in Him. We're waiting. We're walking by faith. He is our help and our shield, and our heart is glad in Him. That walk of faith, of being satisfied, that glad heart, being content in Christ because we trust in Him. Psalm 90:14, satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. We are to be satisfied and content in Christ alone and in God. The Word of God must guide our life and heart to discern how God is leading us. You know, Proverbs 3:1, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. And then Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and the spirit, of joint and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. God's Word by His Spirit, He works in our life and He discerns those things in our heart. And you go, how do I know what God's leading me to do? Go to God's Word. Pray. Wait on God. And His Spirit will do that. He will cause us to discern our thoughts. And those intentions in our heart, His Word will guide us and direct us. We have to be walking according to that. And then we must keep our heart in check before the Lord. We have to keep our heart in check before the Lord. Just a couple of passages on that. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. God knows that our, you know, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. You know, when you sing that in church, sometimes you go, oh man, yeah, I, you know, He gets me, you know. Yes, you know, our hearts, you know, often get challenged by the world and by our own flesh, but we're to keep our heart with vigilance. We're to hold on to the Word of God. Hold on and take every thought captive and to keep our heart with vigilance. And we're, James 4:8 says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. And so we're to be actively, pertaining to our heart, instructing our heart, making sure that it's easy for us to have the wrong perspective in life. It's easy for us to think like the world. So we have to instruct our heart and we need to keep it. We need to instruct it. We need to purify our hearts, you know, every day. Every day. It's a day by day. Every day walk with the Lord that we might not be double-minded. You know, that we would stay firm-minded on Christ and Christ alone. And do not follow or be controlled by the desires and lusts of the heart. Jeremiah 17:9-10 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his way, according to the fruit of his deeds. And so we have to understand again that, you know, that yes, He's saved us and He has justified us, but yet we have that old man and we are, you know, we wrestle with our flesh. And there's a constant war, as the Bible teaches us, going on between the Spirit of God and our flesh and even us, our new heart. And we're battling, but praise God, the Spirit of God's battling for us even within our own hearts. And we need to be sure that to keep a good check on our heart and know that our hearts can tend to think self-centered, what's best for me and us instead of what's best for Christ. And so we need to just be aware of that. Romans 1:24-25, I won't read that. Let's jump on to do not follow or be controlled by the desires and lusts of your heart. I'll read this. What causes quarrels? And what causes fights among you, is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder, you covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your own passions, on your passions. You adulterous people. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy with God. We need to make sure that we're controlled by the Spirit of God and that we're not following our own fleshly desires. And then your heart must be guided by a transformed mind, by the Spirit of God and the Word of God. Desire, Proverbs 19:2, desire without knowledge is not good, and whoever makes haste with his feet misses his way. And then that great passage in Romans 12, 1 and 2. I'll just read 2, that do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's a day-by-day, moment-by-moment thing, that by testing you may discern what's the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And then when discerning how the Lord is leading you in your desires, surround yourself with godly counselors. Make sure that you have godly people that you interact with. It's always good to be discipling and mentoring other people, but it's also good to have counselors that are at your stage in life going through similar things, and then mentors and counselors that are ahead of you and that you can go to and talk through things. And, you know, it's very important. The scriptures say in Proverbs 11:14, where there's no guidance, a people falls. But in abundance of counselors, there's safety. And then Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. So God wants us to keep our hearts in check. You know, we need other people to bounce things off of that are godly, that'll be honest with us, that'll really tell us the truth. You know, and we need to ask them, you know, hey, here's what I'm thinking, what do you think? And then be humble. Because are we really going to them for affirmation to get, or are we going to them, or just to tell us what we're, are we really going to them for counsel and advice? It's so important that we really have counselors, not just friends that we think, you know, will tell us we're doing a great job. And God will use God will give godly desires to his children to move them to do the good work that he's prepared them to do. You're probably going, when is he going to get to Psalm 37? Well, here it is. Psalm 37, 3 through 5 says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Trust, do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness to God. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will act. So what it is as we trust in the Lord, as we're walking with him and as we're walking faithfully to his word, and as then he shapes our desires to be his desires. That's what this is talking about. It's not like, oh, I want it, so God will give it to me. He's the great Santa Claus. No, that's not what this is talking about. It's saying he shapes and gives you his desires. And as he gives you his desires, then as you walk faithfully, he will do that. He will act. He will do his work in and through your life. And you have been filled in him who is the head and rule of authority. Okay. So God often moves us to minister to others as a result of our life experiences of joy, success, failures, and suffering. Colossians 2, 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. So God carries us through. God gives us strength. God, we walk through life's challenges and he comforts us and we go through them and then he uses us to be that comfort for others, to give them strength as they walk through similar situations in their life. Our guiding passage for our heart is this. Proverbs 3, 5 through 8. Many of you have memorized it, and it's one of your life verses, and it should be, because it's so key to us in our Christian life, especially in the area of our hearts. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Be not wise. There you go. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. How many of us like to be refreshed, the healing of our flesh and the refreshing of our bones? I mean, to feel energized and to feel, you know, we all want it, don't we? I mean, that's what we desire. And God says, hey, this is how you get it. And making sure that all of our heart, we're trusting the Lord. There's nothing we're holding back, that we're open-handed with our heart and we're trusting Him in all things. And we're not leaning on our own understanding. We're leaning on the Word of God, the Spirit of God to guide us. And in all our ways, we're walking by faith and we're walking according to His Word, because in all our ways we acknowledge Him as Lord and Savior and King eternal. And then we know that He will guide us. He will direct us. He'll make our way straight. All right. So the work of our heart and life passions can be connected to different areas. You can read those, just meaning God can give you desires in these four different areas. Has God laid something on your heart to do for Him? We need to make sure that God has instructed our heart by His Word. We complete the heart and passion worksheet at your leisure, whenever you want to, and serve Christ with a heart of passion for Him and His glory. So you got it. You got the logo. You got two lessons in one. I know it was a lot. It was like drinking from a fire hose. I started to say it's like, you know, the seventh night of coming to these lessons would be like the roller coaster with that biggest one at the end, and you just go boom, you know, and your face is kind of, you know, going back like this, and you know, saying, hang on there, you know. But I really believe God will take His Word and take these principles, and I ask Him to do that and to do a work in your life. Well, let me pray for us, and then you can do your small group. Father, I do pray that You would be with each person here, and thank You, God, for, as I look at them and their faces, and some I know really well and others I don't know as well, but God, how You have moved them and how You have used them and how You are shaping them and making them, and You've given them great life experiences. I pray that You would continue to lead and guide and direct them into how You would have them serve You in every step of their life, in every way. And I thank You again for them. In Christ's name, amen. All right. Well, you have the small half sheet is your discussion sheet. You can go to small group discussion. Well, guys, I hate to interrupt great conversation. I love it to do it, but I also want to make sure I conclude us in time, and then y'all can hang out as long as you want. But any closing things anybody wants to say about in any of the study, the different areas of your design, your make, how God made you, the whole study of our spiritual gifts, and what I did is spiritual gifts in light of our design, because I really do believe we use our spiritual gifts so often in light of our personality, in light of our experiences that God gives us a passion for, and our talents. So kind of gave you a bigger picture of just spiritual gifts. But any things y'all wanted to share from either your group time, any thoughts, things that came up, or something that you just want to share? No, thank you. Thank you. It was a joy. Y'all been great. Thank y'all for coming. Anything in particular on how all these work together? Any way or thoughts that y'all have come up and go, oh wow, I see how all these things are working together. And y'all might have shared it with each other, but I didn't get to hear it. Amen. Amen. Yeah, praise the Lord. Mm. Absolutely. Yeah, that's a good point. I love that. Anybody else? So this is great. If you hadn't done it and you'd like to kind of put it all together, of course I like to write things out because it helps me, but that's why I gave you this little sheet. You can kind of write out each one of these areas. Of course, you know, two of the worksheets I just gave you tonight. So, but you can write those things out and just kind of look at it and pray through it and say, God, what can I look at this and see? How can I serve you? Is there something you could use me where I'm already serving you in a different way, a better way, or things, you know, in my story I can share with others to encourage them. So I, you know, that's what that little sheet's for.